good to see you all. And welcome some of Coralie's family here as well. Some who have come from far away and some from far, far, far away. So very good to see you this morning. And those others who are joining us this morning, welcome. Good to see you. So today, we'll share together as we normally would share, but a couple of little different things. So no PowerPoint this morning. I suggested that we have a break from PowerPoint just to give those who are on the roster for that a break for this week, given there's just a small number who do that. So our carols that we still do some, and the other songs and hymns this morning on the sheet, which hopefully you got as you came through the door. So we've sort of gone back in time a little bit there with having that on a sheet in front of us. But just for this week, just for this Sunday. And I was looking at a short little video of Michael McIntyre over the last couple of days, British comedian. Some of you probably know Michael McIntyre. This is my little UK little thing here. And some of you may have even seen him. I think he was out here a year or two ago. And he's talking about how the time between Christmas Day and New Year, so those 6 days are the strangest days of the year, because we all lose all sense of everything. And it's really quite a funny thing that he does. But these days are where people, we have no idea what's going on. We have no idea what day of the week it is. And I assume today is Sunday because we're here. But Friday, had no idea what day of the week Friday was. But it's a bit like that. And I really hope that Christmas Day was a nice day for you, a lovely day for you. And however you were able to spend that, whether that was in a large gathering or just with a small number, I hope you had a lovely time together. And of course, Christmas Day is different things for different people. And sometimes unexpected things happen. So like a friend of mine, he ended up spending Christmas Day pretty much by himself as his wife ended up in emergency and then hospital. And he had some cousins up visiting him to go and see their mum, who was in an aged care place. The aged care place had COVID, so they were all rugged up with PPE to go and see her. And his day just went completely out the window in some ways for Christmas Day. But like I say, our experience of Christmas is very different for many of us. Now, I am saying a few more things than what I'd normally say. It's normally just a welcome and that. But just to mention a couple of things, I guess, for the last Christmas, the days that we've had. The other thing that I enjoy watching, and Jules and I, we normally do this, is watch the King's Christmas Message. And, of course, up until the last, that's his third one. Prior to that, it was the Queen's Christmas Message. And we really enjoyed sitting and watching her messages. And he's got big boots to fill in many ways, including this message that he would give to the Commonwealth, like his mother did. And it's one of the things that Queen Elizabeth II always did in that Christmas message, was she talked about her faith and how important it was to her. So the final one that she did back in 2021, she reflected on the loss of her husband, Prince Philip, that year, and of how Christmas was different for her and her family because of that in 2021. She talked of the Christmas story, and she said, "It's this simplicity of the Christmas story that makes it so universally appealing. Simple happenings that form the life of Jesus, a man whose teachings have been handed down from generation to generation and have been the bedrock of my faith." And it was always so encouraging to watch her and to speak so vitally of what faith meant to her and the Christmas story. And just the final thing I want to mention is that the other interesting thing is to watch the royal family attend the Christmas service. I think this year is at Balmoral. I'm not sure if it's every year at Balmoral or not. But then as they came out, they went and said hello to the crowds that were gathered there. And so people would give them, and so a card or some flowers or a gift. And I got thinking about this, I thought it's interesting that gift on Christmas Day, and that do the royal family really need the gift that's being given to them? And in one sense, no. But as I thought about that, there's something in the actual act of giving that is really significant. And so people who were giving, and clearly there were some where people had gone to really quite a lot of effort in something that was written, and sometimes you'd see Catherine Prince, what's her title now? I don't know. Yes, pretty well. That she would be actually engaged in conversation and looking down at something that someone had given her. And I thought there's actually, and this is one of the great things about Christmas too, is that there's something in the act of giving that is really significant. And do the royal family need the gifts that, no, but there's something in the simple act that gives meaning and purpose to that act itself. And that is a really helpful thing to reflect on at Christmas. Having said all of that, a little bit longer than welcome, good morning, good to see you, but hopefully that just leads us into this time of worship. And I think we're recording as well this morning, so welcome to those of you who will hear this recording a little later. And once again, we're so glad that we can share together in this way through the recording. So let us worship God. And I want to read this morning a prayer that comes from the Iona community. When the world was dark, O Lord, and the city was quiet, you came. You came in and crept beside us. And no one knew, O Lord, only the few who dared to believe that you might do something different. Will you please do the same this Christmas, Lord? Will you come into the darkness of today's world? Not the friendly darkness, as when sleep rescues us from tiredness, but the fearful darkness in which people have stopped believing that war will end, or that food will come, or that the government will change. Will you come into that darkness, O Lord, and do something different to save your people from despair? Will you come, O Lord, into the quietness of this city? Not the friendly quietness when friends share an early morning walk, but the fearful silence when the phone has not rung, the letter has not come, the friendly voice no longer speaks, and the doctor's face says it all. Will you come, O Lord, into that darkness and do something different? Into the dark corners and the quiet places of our lives this day. We ask this, O Lord, because the fullness our lives long for depends on us being as open and vulnerable to you as you were to us when you came, trusting human hands to hold their maker. Will you come into our lives, O Lord, if we open them to you and do something different? When the world was dark and the city was quiet, you came. You came beside us. Please, O Lord, do the same this Christmas season. Amen. We'll sing Child in the Manger, and then we'll hear from Psalm 148. Child in the Manger, and the three verses as shown in your sheet. Thanks.
Thank you.
be seated. And then reading Psalm 148. Praise the Lord from heaven, you that live in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels, or his heavenly arms. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, shining stars. Praise him, highest heavens and the waters above the sky. Let them all praise the name of the Lord. He commanded, and they were created. By his command, they were fixed in their places forever, and they cannot disobey. Praise the Lord from the earth, sea monsters and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, strong winds that obey his command. Praise him, hills and mountains, fruit trees and forests, or animals, tame and wild, reptiles and birds. Praise him, kings and all peoples, princes and all other rulers, girls and young men, old people and children too. Let them all praise the name of the Lord. His name is greater than all others. His glory is above heaven and earth. He made his nation strong so that all his people praise him. The people of Israel, so dear to him, praise the Lord. And this morning I've relit our Advent wreath and want to share this prayer from the resources provided by the Christmas Bowl. Gracious God, as we light our Advent wreath, including the Christ candle again this day, we do so with joy in our hearts. May we in this Christmas season, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, the light of the world, be ourselves light bearers and sources of hope in your world, as we pray in the name of Christ. We continue with a prayer of adoration and confession. We pray. Almighty God, as we come together, we celebrate your greatness. We join with all of creation in heaven and on earth to sing your praises and to offer you worship. For you are worthy of adoration from every mouth, and every tongue should praise you. You created the earth by your power. You save us by your mercy, and you make us new by your grace. To you we lift up our hearts and we worship you, one God, forever and ever. Living God, we thank you for Jesus Christ. You raised him from death to be the power of saving love in our midst. We come seeking that new life and your word of forgiveness that you grant to us through him. And so, Lord, we confess the things that we hide from you, the things that we try to hide from others and from ourselves. We confess, O Lord, the worry and perhaps even at times the heartbreak that we have caused others, and the things that we have said and done which make it hard for them to forgive us. We confess the times that we've made it easy for others to go wrong. We confess any harm that we have done and cannot undo, making it hard for us to forgive ourselves. Hear us, O Lord, as we continue our confession in some moments of quietness. Lord, continue to have mercy on us and forgive us as we turn once again to you to find in you life and hope. For we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. God is good on all those whose lives are open to change, from guilt to grace, from darkness to light. God pronounces forgiveness and grants God's peace to us. And so we hear the good news that it is in Jesus Christ that we are forgiven, and we're able to say, thanks be to God. Amen. So as a forgiven and renewed people, we take a moment to share a word of peace with those nearby us. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Surely we'll sing Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God before our gospel reading. But first, just to mention a couple of very brief things by way of announcements. For anything in regards to the roster, just particularly over the next couple of weeks, please come and see Wendy. I hope you knew about that. But Wendy or Dawn, or if they're not around, certainly come and see me as well. Just an update from Destiny Rescue, and thanks Dawn for just passing on this morning. Just a really quick update, because Destiny Rescue is one of those people that we support through some of the proceeds from the Refresh Shop. They've given some of their outcomes for the past year. There's still a little bit of updating to do just up to the end of this year, but throughout 2024, they have rescued 3,365 individuals across 172 raids, and 179 people have been arrested amongst that. But over 3,300 rescued. That's a huge number, isn't it? And so we give thanks to God for the work that they're doing and for 3,365 lives that have been changed forever because of being rescued from all kinds of things. So, and because of the generosity of this congregation and the community and support, we get to be a part of enabling that to happen, and that's a wonderful thing. So please continue to pray. Just in the last few weeks in the Philippines, there's been some operations that they've been doing. So please continue to pray for them. Indeed, all the mission supports that we are a part of, particularly at this time of year, is a great time to pray for them. We sing Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God, and we'll sing the three verses shown. Now, sometimes when we sing this, there's the refrain. We're not going to include that, so we're just going to go from verse 1, Alleluia, Alleluia, and then verse 2, so not the refrain. If you're used to singing the refrain in this one, we're not going to sing that this morning, but just as shown. Is that an okay explanation, Anne? Yeah? Thank you. Okay, so verse 1, 2, and 3 as shown, and then the Bible reading from Matthew.
From Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, the birth of Jesus Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ took place. His mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, but before they were married, she found out that she was going to have a baby by the Holy Spirit. Joseph was the man who always did what was right, disgraced Mary publicly, so he made plans to break the engagement privately. While he was thinking about this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, for it is by the Holy Spirit that she has conceived. She'll have a son, and you'll name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now all this happened in order to make come true what the Lord had said through the prophet. A virgin will become pregnant and have a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he married Mary, as the angel of the Lord had told him to, and he had no sexual relations with her before she gave birth to her son, and Joseph named him Jesus. Thanks be to God.
We pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. And as with many things at this time of year, that, including the message of it, will be a little bit more succinct, maybe than other times that we might share. But this morning we look at this passage from Matthew chapter 1, and yes, it is the Christmas story, but we often at Christmas time head towards Luke's Gospel. And so this morning, I thought we'd just take a little bit of time to reflect on Matthew's account. And of course, the big picture of Christmas comes to us. We put together Matthew's account and Luke's account. Mark doesn't have anything in his gospel about the Christmas story. And also we get the Christmas story in Matthew's Gospel mainly from Joseph's perspective. And in Luke's account, it's mainly from Mary's perspective. And in Matthew's account here, again, it's quite succinct. There's some extended words about leading up to the actual birth, but the actual birth of Jesus is the very last line, the very last sentence. She gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. So let's look a little bit closer at these verses in Matthew chapter 1 this morning. So Joseph has this dream. He hears that Mary is pregnant, and he is quite anxious about that, and not surprisingly so. And it says that Joseph was a righteous man, and because of that, he wanted to be faithful to the law. And the law of Moses meant that in this circumstance, he could dismiss Mary outright. But we learn something else about Joseph here, that he wants to show some care for Mary. And although the letter of the law says that, he does something a little different. And certainly this was a very significant thing, because the law, the penalty in the law for this, for in all essence was adultery, was very significant. Mary could be dismissed, and ultimately she could be stoned to death because of this. That would be the letter of the law. He decides that he doesn't want to expose her to the shame of that, to public disgrace, and he intends to dismiss her, to divorce her quietly. And I guess for both of them to get on with their lives. But verse 20 says that after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. So here's an angel appearing again. We heard a little bit about that on Christmas Day, about these angels appearing. And here in Joseph's dream, the angel appears to him. And as we heard on Christmas morning, the first thing the angel says to him is, Joseph, don't be afraid. In this case, it's don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. And why should he not be afraid to do that? The angel says, well, the reason you should not be afraid is that the child is by the Holy Spirit. The child is conceived by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, what your task is as the father, here's your job. You are to call him the name Jesus. You are to give him the name Jesus. And some of us may know that Jesus is the equivalent of the name Joshua, so the Greek form of the name Joshua, and which means to save, or the Lord saves. It's the name Jesus means that. For he will save his people from their sins, the angel tells Joseph. Now, I remember many, many years ago, occasionally you meet someone whose name is spelt J-E-S-U-S. And I remember years and years ago, I met someone here. He was a PhD student at uni, and his name was J-E-S-U-S, Jesus. It's from Mexico. And we used to have great fun because we'd say, oh, well, Jesus is here tonight. Yeah, that's great. But he was a great bloke, Christian bloke out of Mexico, doing some amazing work at the uni, and he befriended a number of us, Jesus. But here Jesus' name is means to save. He will save his people from their sin. So the angel says to Joseph, in a way, Joseph, here's what's going on. Joseph, you think this is a time to save your wife from shame. But no, what I'm saying to you, Joseph, is that the Holy Spirit has caused this child to be conceived, and the mission of this child will be one of saving. He will save his people from their sins. Joseph, that's what's going on here. And verse 22, we have this little phrase at the start, all this took place to fulfill, and various translations put it in different ways. But this is the first place. Matthew is full of these references to the Old Testament, this happened to fulfill the scriptures that were said, da, 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 da. This is the first one we get in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 1, verse 22. That's a really interesting phrase, all this took place to fulfill, all this took place. The only other time in Matthew's Gospel that that phrase appears, he puts it in other ways when he's talking about fulfilling, but the only other place that that actual phrase, all this took place, happens is towards the end of Matthew's Gospel in Matthew chapter 26 verse 56 when Jesus is arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. We have on the lips of Jesus himself saying, this whole thing took place, all this took place, my being arrested, why you are here now in the garden, all this took place to fulfill the scriptures. So chapter 1, we have this phrase, chapter 26, at the arrest of Jesus, maybe this is saying something to us, that this whole thing from the start of Jesus' life to the end of his life, here the whole thing is beginning to unfold. Here's the beginning of the whole thing that is about to take place, of Jesus coming to save the people from their sins. All this took place in verse 1, verse 22. It's beginning to be fulfilled. And then there's this quote from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, which we often hear at Christmas time. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So he's now got two names. There's Jesus and there's Emmanuel. We don't hear Emmanuel anywhere else in Matthew's Gospel, let alone the other Gospels. This is the only place we hear the name Emmanuel given. We certainly get hints of that in John's Gospel in chapter 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's certainly saying that God is very active here, that this is an active thing, that God is with us to do something. God is with us to save God's people from their sins. God is actively amongst us to do something. And so throughout this dream, Joseph's mind is changed. He does as the angel commands him, orders him, instructs him to do. And he takes Mary to be his wife, that he did not put her aside, and that he did not and kept on not knowing her in the biblical sense. And then the passage finishes with him giving him the name Jesus, that Jesus is born and he's given the name Jesus. So already in chapter 1 here we have the mission of Jesus. Why is Jesus here? To save us. He has come amongst us to save us from our sins. And there's these two names, Jesus and Emmanuel. As I said, we don't hear Emmanuel much throughout it, but we know that Jesus is Emmanuel throughout the whole Gospels. That God is with us, that God is with us. And sometimes for us, we lose the sense of how radical that is. It is completely and utterly unique in Christianity amongst the other world religions to make that statement. That God would dare to enter into this messy world and to be known as God. That's the unique claim of Christianity. In fact, among some of the world religions, that is an affront to make that claim. God is with us in all our flesh and blood realities and the messiness of this world. God walked down the dusty streets. Christ among the pots and pans, as St. Teresa of Avila put it. God with the outcast, in whose company Jesus would delight to be with again and again and again. God with the little children that came running up to Jesus and whom he blessed. God with us in our ordinary times and our ordinary days. Emmanuel, God with us in the hospital and the out with my mate's wife on that Christmas day a couple of days ago as she sat in emergency. Emmanuel, God with us in all of our local aged care homes. Emmanuel, God is with us in our palliative care units. And when life's final breath escapes from our lips, here is Emmanuel, God with us. Scott Hotze, in his commentary on this passage, says this. He says, Matthew 1 is all about names. Because the first part of Matthew is this genealogy of Jesus, the first part of it. We get a whole family tree's worth of names, but finally we narrow down the whole chapter to one very specific name, actually two very specific names. Almost as a way to say that all of history has been leading up to this one point when someone would finally come with a name above all names, a name that will spell life itself. The name Emmanuel and Jesus, for he has come to save us from our sins. Let us pray. Lord our God, how extraordinary that you would come into our midst, that you would know us and all and every human experience you have enveloped into the very life of Jesus. Help us, O Lord, day by day and moment by moment to know of Emmanuel, that you are with us in every aspect of life for us, and help us to always look to Jesus, our life, our hope, our light. Amen. We sing the carol once in Royal David City, which is one of these great carols that talk not just of the birth of Jesus, but of the totality of his life and ministry amongst us. Once in Royal David City. Please be seated. And I'm just wondering if you might just play through as we receive the offering. If you just play through that. And we receive our offering now, and for those of you who come prepared to receive that, or whether you give directly through online, we share now in our offering. invite you to stand as we dedicate this to God. We bring our gifts to you, Lord God, in gratitude and in hope. And we bring them now, or as we have made an online transfer, however it is that we have done that, we do so with thanks. In dedicating what we give, we dedicate ourselves again to be your people in the world, in the service of Christ, through the strength and enabling power of your Spirit. Amen.
I did think I'd be able to read the prayer without my glasses, given I put it in size 18 font, but that didn't work. So please join me in our prayer of thanksgiving and intercession. Dear Lord, thank you for again sharing with us a beautiful day, and please join me in our prayers for others as we take time to centre ourselves and think of others. We pray for a world that sees all people as vulnerable, that sees the human condition as basically good and kind. We pray that those in power seek to serve all in their communities, to continue to support those in need, the unemployed, the underemployed, the elderly, those who are alone, Indigenous youth, and the forgotten refugees still in our country. God of wonder, God of love, we are aware of the things we enjoy and often take for granted. Gathering as family and community, feasting at tables of abundance, the capacity to join a holiday. We give thanks for those who have offered food, connection and shelter over the Christmas period, those who have invited strangers to the Christmas dinner, those who have offered a bed to those without one, for those who have sought ways to ease housing shortages in many, many places. We pray for all who struggle to find the basic necessities like food, shelter, and community. May we who have plenty find ways to share. Father, please hear our prayers and those of so many around the world as we pray for an end of the war in Ukraine. There has been so much suffering and so many lives lost. We pray that Russia retreats and allows the Ukraine to start the long road to recovery. We pray for a solution to the conflict within the Middle East. Unfortunately, this conflict appears to be escalating. Lord, we give thanks and praise for those in our community who continue to ensure we are connected. We pray especially for the Reflections Team and the Prayer Network. We pray for those in our community who are unwell, who are disconnected from family. We give thanks and pray for our Minister David and his family. We pray for those in our congregation who are ill, who are frail, who are ageing. God, it is no fun getting old. We pray that you walk alongside those in our congregation who need a little more assistance to live day to day. We offer prayers for people and situations upon our hearts. And in and through all places of challenge, may the light of Christ continue to shine in our world. As we pray together, as Jesus taught us, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us in the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
We sing Angels from the Realms of Glory, and as we do that, I invite you to continue to stand afterwards for a blessing. Angels from the Realms of Glory. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen. We go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, thank you, everyone, and this opportunity to share in a cup of tea, coffee, as we continue to share in fellowship.